All right, ladies, I'm like embarrassed to say this because the response I get when I tell people this is like either they think it's really cool or they're like, why are you reading that? The book I'm reading right now is the Elon Musk biography, and it's massive. It's like 600 pages. Yeah, and it's
Yeah.
Walter Isaacson, who wrote the Steve Jobs biography, is a writer
Right.
of it, and he's a
Yeah.
fantastic writer.
Yes.
It's so interesting to just like get the backstory about this crazy, smart, insane man from his perspective, but also like people that have been in his life in different stages of his life. What are you reading right now, Chris?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that one and that you're finding it interesting. I read a book about him 10 years ago, but it was before we really knew him like we're getting to know him today. So,
Yeah.
and Walter Isaacson's books are always wonderful. I'm reading The Covenant of Water. I'm right in the middle. It's a really big novel. It's a fictional novel, but it's winding stories of all of these different characters, and it's quite beautiful, but I'm not complete yet. It's on Oprah's Book Club, and I am a non-fictional reader and listener all the time, but this particular one just kept calling to me, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to read it, and it's turning out to be great. What about you, Erin?
Oh. Well, right now I do a lot of sample readings, on the Kindle. You can download the sample. So I can't claim to be reading the book because I'm still just in the sample. But is The Wager, I think is the name of it. And it's like a historical fiction about a Atlantic crossing that went totally haywire in the 1700s. And it's about the history of basically maritime warfare between Britain and Spain. And when they didn't have enough sailors, they would just go and grab these guys off the street. They would kidnap them, fellas, just, having a beer or whatever in a pub. They'd send to this group called the Press Gang and they'd grab them and they'd throw them on the ship and they'd be like, adios, family. That was how they staffed their
That was the
ships.
recruiting strategy.
Things have changed a
Yes.
lot.
Can I tell you about the book I'm reading? Cloud and Townsend wrote a book called The Law of Happiness. And had I known I was going to talk about it, I would have had these figures more solidified. But it is a Christian-based report on what psychology talks about the makeup of happiness. And it's 10% is based on our circumstances, which are always fleeting, right? 50% are based on our genetics and makeup. And I think the rest of it is choice. And so, yeah, it's brilliant. It's fascinating to really kind of think about what is happiness and how do we get there and how do we keep it?
Right. Yes, a quest, a quest, a lifetime quest.
Yeah, and I think I've heard a speaker that's a professor at a university that studies happiness, and it's very similar to what you just shared. It's like 50% is within our control, but 50% is part of our makeup. And he has some ideas for how you can control the 50%. I'll have to bring that to another discussion someday because I took notes, but it's spending time with faith and family, it's having a purpose. Well, and I think it's really important, particularly in these post-pandemic times when you, mental health and people seem to be struggling maybe a little bit more than in recent times. So, yeah, I'm pretty Great excited point.
about it.
Lori Hybee, Chris Harrington, and Erin Courtney, three broads, bringing you stories and strategies exploring manufacturing topics that challenge the status quo while laying the foundations for future success. Together with special guests, they'll celebrate what's working and unpack what is not, so you can learn, grow, and succeed. You want to learn more about your hosts? Make sure to listen to episode one.
Well, for our guests that are listening today, this is retired Lieutenant Colonel Kathy Lowry Galowitz, who's been sharing her information with us. So thank you for sharing your book and joining our banter. I want to introduce you before we start asking some questions, but Kathy Lowry Galowitz is an award-winning businesswoman with firsthand experience hiring veterans who coaches employers how to boost productivity and reduce turnover by hiring and retaining veterans. She helps companies become veteran-ready through the creation of a veteran talent strategy. Her Veteran Talent Academy equips employers to find, hire, and leverage veterans' skill sets. She is the founder and CEO of Vanguard Veteran LLC, author of Beyond Veterans, Thank You for Your Service, the Veteran Champion Handbook for Civilians, and has master's degrees in nursing and political science. She grew up as a Navy brat, served nearly 30 years as an Air Force officer, and is married to an Army combat veteran. Kathy also equips volunteer faith community leaders to build military ministries to cultivate mutual support, a sense of belonging, and spiritual resiliency for military-connected people. So, Kathy, thank you for being here with us today on the broadcast.
Well, this is pretty exciting. I got to tell you, I've never been interviewed by three co-hosts at once. I'm going to do this in 30 minutes. Four women. We're all in there, right? I think it's great. Thanks for everybody being here.
Yeah, well, thanks for being here. We're ready to learn from you today.
And a Navy veteran to boot. Go for it, Chris.
So, yeah, why are veterans particularly well-suited to work in manufacturing?
Well, Chris, you probably can answer this just as well, if not better than I can, since you spent your entire career there. But I think top of the list is quality assurance, quality control, safety mindset, operational discipline. I mean, those are the attributes that align most beautifully within the manufacturing setting. I see you guys shaking your heads. Mm-hmm. Good.
Yes.
But then beyond that is, of course, our love for small unit integrity, right? And with that integrity comes teamwork, leadership, camaraderie, right? All those things come from that small unit integrity, if you will. In the military, we're broken up into small groups and into bigger groups, and it facilitates problem solving, critical thinking, chain of command, and all that stuff mirrors the manufacturing industry because everybody's got to know their job. You got to do your job right the first time to create that product to meet mission. Then there's other attributes like I've heard employers describe military people as anchors. I love that. You know, what do you think? Yeah, what do you think, Chris, as a sailor, right? They're anchors because we're used to managing, you know, stressful conditions, high ops tempo, potentially conflict, right? And so we're pretty good problem solvers, critical thinkers, and calm under pressure. And so that anchoring has ripples throughout the organization and really makes a difference. And the other key attribute that I should have introduced way up front is technical skills and aptitudes, right? Now, we may not have the exact training on the exact piece of equipment, but one thing we do is train, and train some more. And more often than not, it's technical. Now, that wasn't my career. I was nursing in public affairs. And I'm not very technical, but most military people who are interested in manufacturing probably have some sort of technical aptitude that they can bring. And so hiring for character and hiring for aptitude and training is in a manufacturer's best interest because you will get return on investment by hiring that veteran that may not have the exact resume that you want. Take a chance, train them. You won't be disappointed.
Oh, I love that.
Wow. Man.
So eloquently and thoughtfully.
What's a good follow-up question? I don't know. That was amazing.
Frankly, if you think about the skill alignment, it almost brings tears to your eyes, right? You know, a veteran wants nothing more than to contribute in the workplace, right? DNA, our makeup is very much centered on serving and contributing. And oh, by the way, the beauty of making something with your hands. And this is an overgeneralization, but I think military people are pretty practical, pretty grounded. And if you produce something with your hands, I know that's something that most people who work in manufacturing, or at least the front lines, really value, but military people really value that as well. It's a very practical, meaningful, fulfilling role.
Yeah, I just want to jump in on that. You know, maybe the resume isn't exact, or maybe the technical experience isn't an exact match, but that would be the case for any civilian or anyone with a job. But what strikes me about what you're saying, and sort of some generalizations again, is a commitment to precision so that regardless of what you're doing, you want to do it very, very well in order to keep that quality at the max. This seems like it's also an amazing fit as well.
Quick sort of anecdote that kind of describes this. A female pilot friend of mine who was an Air Force Academy graduate realize 2% of females are pilots in the Air Force, or at least were so 10 or so years ago. She was out of the cockpit for 2 years, and she came back in and had a quick refresher, and boom, she was right. It was like riding a bike, she said, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a testament to the amount of training generally. Now, being a pilot might be a little bit more of an extreme example, but again, Chris, would you verify for me the amount of training?
No, I love that you said training, because it starts in boot camp, it continues in your schooling, and then when you get into your job, you are continuing to perform the thing that you've learned, and you're doing it in a procedural way. Yep. So you are led to follow the instructions that are the procedures.
Yep.
You can go back and ask for a modification or raise your hand, but then it is always rewritten into the procedures. But yes, everyone is well trained, and then they follow the instructions. Yes.
There's a strong sense of ownership in the military, generally speaking, about, okay, we have a mission to perform for the American people. This is no joke. There's high stakes. Let's do it right the first time, and let's take care of each other, look out for each other, prepare each other for success while we're doing it. And I believe in that.
Yeah.
So if I'm a manufacturer right now, where do I find these folks? Yeah. I'm also curious about your thoughts about what you know about veterans' feelings about manufacturing as a sector for them to pursue jobs in. Why is manufacturing a great fit for a veteran?
Okay, finding first, let's chat with that. That's one of the biggest complaints employers typically have, because they feel confused and lost about how to connect with veteran talent. That's one of the things I do best. I concentrate really here in Arizona. I have lived in Ohio for a while, but there's really kind of a model or places to go check. First of all, American job centers are all over the country, and they give priority to military candidates. So that's a good place to go look. And most of those, as I understand it, most of those job seekers are unemployed. There are also local and national nonprofits that connect employers to veterans and or vice versa, and or prepare veteran job seekers. One of those is Hiring Our Heroes. One of those is 50 Strong. But you can go look in your local community and look at how can I find veteran talent. They are around. Certainly they're of varying quality, but you could go talk to your Department of Veterans Services. They should have some general understanding of maybe where to find those kinds of services, how to connect. Of course, if you have a military base, a guard or reserve base near you, knock on that door, knock on that door, knock on that door. Am I getting clear?
Yes.
Knock on that door until somebody listens. And you do have to be persistent, all right? Because they're looking for good companies with good wages, with good cultures. And sometimes it's hard to get in the door. We had a Hiring Our Heroes was out here at Luke Air Force Base for a hiring event, partnering with their transition assistance program. And not every employer could get in, you know? And then there's tons of job boards out there. Mm-hmm. PeerPost and Recruit Military is another big nationwide recruiting. They do job fairs. Actually, I have a directory of job boards, job fairs, firms that do this work. And so they're out there, but you got to roll up your sleeves and go find them. And it's confusing for people to know how to do it. The theme is develop trusting relationships with that source of veteran talent so that they know you're serious. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. Keep in touch with them monthly. Offer to support them in other ways. Let's see, the Guard, the Marines, Army Reserve. I'm not so familiar. Wounded Warrior. They all sort of have their own specific job service program. And so that's why I do what I do, is because I love meeting these people and connecting employers to them.
There's tons of resources, it sounds like, which is amazing. And I'm like, we need to like add a webpage to our site to like put them all on there for everyone, not just in the show notes, but like just a general resource center to support manufacturers. I'm hearing these are all outbound activities that the employer should be doing. And I'm really curious. I mean, there's huge deficit in workforce right now in the manufacturing space. How do we attract, or how do manufacturers attract that type of talent? But more importantly, how do they retain that type of talent?
Well, these are a lot of questions.
I think they kidnap them and they put them on and they lock them in there.
A huge resource every manufacturer needs to know about is Heroes Makes America by the Manufacturing Institute. It's a nonprofit that goes to the big bases and trains different service members on different aspects of manufacturing. And then they send those resumes out to manufacturers who have signed up and paid for it. So that's a great specific way to connect with service members who are interested in manufacturing. Also, if you're in the semiconducting industry, there's a Semi Foundation that has just recently, I think within the last 18 months or so, gotten involved in specifically helping semiconductor industries connect with veteran talent. They go out and they host job fairs. They hosted their first one here in Phoenix last year. So that's a great source. So attracting, Lori, you asked about. You're the digital social media person, right?
Yep.
You need the message. You need to message veteran talent in ways that they understand. Talk about value, service, commitment, things that kind of touch the soul of military people. Honor, wave the American flag with sincerity. Have pictures that are accurate and that, that are compelling, that draw people in, that say, oh yeah, with the audience, the job seekers, they get me based on the way they're messaging that and what I'm seeing in their ads. Also, you need to have a website that as soon as you show up, they can say, oh wow, yeah, they do want me to work in their workforce. I see.
I just want you to say that one more time.
I have clients who are like, oh yeah, these are great workers. Mm-hmm. And you look on their website and there's nothing. It really misses the boat. You need testimonials. You need to engage in the community and share those stories on your blogs. Yep. When you show up at Military Connected events, take pictures of that, post it, put it on your website. Talk about your commitment. Have a veteran employee resource group. That's a major retention tactic. I call it the voice of the veteran committee because military people generally have a lot of ideas. They have a lot of different experiences, right? We move so much. We work with a lot of different people in different settings. And so there's a really good chance that they may have ideas about how to improve what's going on in the workplace. So they talk about what some of those enhancements could look like. They're going to talk about their military experience. They bond quickly. They feel connected. They feel like they belong. They feel understood. And that is a key part of building that inclusive workforce for your veterans. And so that's a key retention strategy. And the other one is getting out and supporting those veteran community causes, aligning your corporate social responsibility with veteran causes, because that will enhance your military friendly, veteran friendly brand, and it will help your current veteran hires be proud of their organization and want to be talent ambassadors for you outside the organization.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I just, because it's an area that I've been working in recently, disability employment, I'd like to get your thoughts on how important is it, you know, some of our veterans return and they've, for example, lost limbs, or they have certain needs that the workplace should really address. What are some of the pieces of advice that you would give to an employer on accessibility within the workplace?
I want to go back to your question about how do veterans feel about working in manufacturing? Quick story tells it best. I became familiar through LinkedIn about a gentleman, a service guy, who got out, really didn't know what he wanted to do, got out of the military, went into banking, but he missed the camaraderie of the military. So you know what he did? He got out of banking and he went and bought his own machine shop. And so because he wanted the small unit integrity, he wanted the hands-on, he wanted the camaraderie. And so that I think is a pretty compelling story about what manufacturing brings to the service member. Now, the service member doesn't understand that it's not necessarily a real dirty environment, translating the military words, right, Chris, into the words. Yep. Military skills translators like ONET will help you get past some of that. But you got to prepare for your interview well so that you're asking the right questions. Okay. So as I understand it, about 1 in 10 veterans work in manufacturing. So that's interesting.
Yeah, right? It is interesting.
But the other thing we need to keep in mind is that veterans are all over this nation, and there's a lot of manufacturing plants in rural communities, right? And so if those rural communities can connect with those people who either are serving and maybe attract them when they leave active duty, or maybe while they're serving in the Guard and Reserve, it's really worth your while to help that service member stay at home and find a job. I mean, what a win-win, Chris, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's beautiful. So disabilities, you're right, Erin. There are certainly more and more people coming home from war. The advances in technology is saving lives better and better all the time. And lots of caregivers helping those veterans. Please use your best ADA knowledge and create opportunities for these warriors. Who deserves it more? And there's a lot of technology that can help people with disabilities work more. And for anybody with a disability, work is so central to your life and your self-esteem and just your finance and just everything. But I contend that it's even more so for a purpose, for a person who is highly purpose-driven, more often than not, incredibly motivated. Now, if you're in the battlefield, you've done a lot of work and a lot of prepping and you have a lot of risk-taking ability. I mean, these people need to contribute is my point. And so that's really the best way I can answer that. I don't know if I have any technical resources for that, but the Green Beret Foundation might be a really good source. They do a lot of fundraising and have a lot of wounded warriors. Talking to the Wounded Warrior Program, boy, I heard yesterday they have something like 700 employees and do all different kinds of programming to help wounded warriors come back to work. They can probably be a great resource for people who need to learn more about how to do that. Just giving somebody a decent job will make a huge difference in their transition, in their well-being, and I contend help curb veteran suicide.
When we care for one another, the outcomes are going to be good. And that's a place where we all know that we need to do the work. And I just also something I'm hearing from you, an observation is what it must do for the workplace, for morale, when you bring in veterans who not only have all of these skills and talents that we've been discussing, but they want to be there. And what an awesome sense that brings to the whole workforce, everybody on your floor. So it's not just the individual and it's not just the manufacturing. It's all of the staff that have the opportunity. And you probably have some veterans already on the floor. And just the idea that you begin to make it clear how much you value both their service and the opportunity to bring other veterans into your workforce must be pretty powerful.
I was at a tour yesterday of an ironworks plant and they had an American flag on the patch. So I said, what's that all about? And he says, well, we're a very patriotic company. And that's one of the things I love about working here. That's the tip of the iceberg. This guy wasn't even a veteran. And so the reason that's my life's calling to equip civilians to become veteran champions is because our citizens understand military culture. Like, back in the 1980s, 18% of our country was veterans. In 2022, 7% of our country is veterans. So the military-civilian divide is growing wider. And so I can't tell you how many civilians say to me, oh, man, that's one of my biggest regrets. I wanted to serve in the military. I couldn't do it. But by doing X, Y, or Z, this is my way of giving back. I mean, people are sincere about that. Another quick story, I talked with an HR gal who had started a veteran hiring program in her equipment rental business. And she said, Kathy, I got to tell you, I'm getting goosebumps right now telling you about this, you know, what I did 10 years ago. And again, I think that describes what you're talking about is just people have a lot of, typically a lot of appreciation, a lot of gratitude, a lot of pride. And those select few who can and will and are eligible to serve in the military because they protect and defend our freedom and give us this way of life that we have. And I think a lot of people do appreciate that. And so it's fun and it's a great opportunity for military people to sort of shape that. But just be aware that in that shaping, that a lot of veterans don't like hero worship. We don't consider ourselves to be heroes. We were doing our job. And we just want to be a part of the group, right?
Yeah.
We don't want to be treated specially or differently. We want to belong and do our part. That's really who we are.
Yeah, this was awesome. I really hope all hiring managers, HR leaders, marketing leaders have been listening to this conversation because there is so much power in learning about these resources and the activities and the sincerity that you can put toward an effort to bring these people into the talent gap that we have, that workforce gap. Let's fill these roles with veterans. Let's fill these roles with women. Let's fill these roles with women veterans.
Right on.
Woo, yeah, I feel like cheering right now.
Well, we should cheer.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, you said, Chris, 27% of manufacturing is women, when 50% of women are in the workforce. There's a big gap there.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. 15 to 20% women serve in the military. So there's a huge gap. There's very few women veterans who, you know, around, period. But with encouragement and building awareness, I'm working here in Arizona. I do everything I can to build awareness about the value of veteran talent and to engage organizations like Women in Manufacturing, SHRM, mm-hmm. Chambers of Commerce. That's what I just love, is being in civilian settings and reminding people that veterans are a great source of talent and we're ready to go to work and make your company stronger.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, perfect.
Oh, I'm well, so glad you came on to talk with us today.
I just wanted to quickly, before we conclude, talk about my book, Beyond Thank You for Your Service, The Veteran Champion Handbook for Civilians, available on Amazon. Employers out there, there is a chapter in here on veteran hiring. And so it's, this whole book is practical strategies for, no matter who you are, how you can do more as a civilian veteran champion. If you're a lawyer, a doctor, an educator, a clergy member, or just a member of a community. But it's a good starting place to learn about military culture and why civilian champions are so important. Another resource I really want to make everybody know about, it's called Hiring Veterans, written by an Army reservist who's worked at Procter & Gamble for years. He is just one of those people with 1,000-pound brains, we call it in the military. I hope you will get this. It's fresh off the block. It's just recently published. It's really your compendium for everything hiring and retaining veterans. My email is Kathy with a K and a Y at vanguardveteran.com. Love to come to your company and speak about being a veteran champion, veteran hiring, veteran inclusion. Love to help you build a veteran talent strategy from stem to stern, so to speak, help with different components, build a veteran employee resource group, help you understand how to connect with veteran talent, and I can kind of be your veteran hiring concierge, help facilitate that, but love to speak with you.
Yeah, so should we quickly just go to our segment of I Just Learned That?
Yeah.
All right, Erin, what did you just learn?
You know what? I gave it away at the beginning of the show about the kidnapping. So you're next, Chris.
Okay. Well, I'm getting ready to go to the Paris Olympics, and I realized that they have 12 different time zones. And since many of the women's football games will be throughout France, France itself as a country has 12 different time zones. So I'm going to have to figure that out.
Wait a minute.
that's half the globe.
I need to know more. I don't understand either. That was exactly my reaction. I'm like, how does that work? So I need to learn more. How about you, Lori? What have you just learned?
Well, this is actually interesting. I thought you'd find this entertaining because it is related to the Olympics in Paris. And Anheuser-Busch has signed up to be the first global beer sponsor. But here's the interesting part. The beer that they are sponsoring is 0% alcohol. So yeah, I think that's really interesting. They're really trying to promote and advocate for responsible drinking.
Oh, I like that. Awesome. Oh, well, there's not a better place to, I would imagine, promote something like a product.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
Kathy, do you have something?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. So I'm very excited to announce that I'm going to be a grandmother of a little girl. I have 3 sons and a grandson. Aww. So this is very exciting to me. And what I learned recently is that she's going to be born on January 27th.
Coming right up,
yeah,
Grandma.
Yeah. Hey. So I'm just tickled. Yeah. You enjoy that Olympics, Chris. Oh my gosh, I'm jealous.
Thank you. Yeah. Woo. I'm so excited. I'm going to be bringing a lot of facts as I keep coming back to the podcast.
I love it because every time you mention it, my friend's going.
Well, thank you, Kathy, again, so much for all of the information you shared. This was wonderful. I hope that everybody will connect with you and find your valuable resources that you shared. Until next time, everybody have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much, everyone.
This wraps up today's broadcast. If you're looking to shake up the status quo at your organization or just want to connect with these broads, visit mfgbroadcast.com. Contact Lori Hybe for your strategic digital marketing initiatives. Contact Chris Harrington for OEM and aftermarket digital solutions. And contact Aaron Courtney for web-based solutions for your complex business problems. We've got a great offer specifically for our listeners. You can find more information about the offers and your hosts at mfgbroadcasts.com.